Okay, I want to go ahead and talk to you a little bit about some basic points here about having a personal time, okay?
Yes.
If you have a personal time, you need a better one.
Right.
If you don't have one, you need one. Okay? If you've had one for 20 years, you need to improve that 20-year one. Do you understand? You just don't hit the ceiling on having a personal time with the Lord. You don't.
That's true.
Okay. We need to know Him. How could we know the unsearchable riches of Christ if they are indeed unsearchable and we just have a limited amount of time left on earth? How could we do that? It's not done. It's not possible. You see, we'll need eternity to know that, but we can gain a degree of Christ that we would have thought not possible, you see, formerly. And it will become part of our being, so much so that it's almost like it's just secondhand. In other words, it's us, it's our nature. He becomes part of our being, and we and Him are mingled in such a way that He is us and we are Him, and He lives in us and we live in Him. And it's really quite a blending, a mingling. You follow me? You see? To an extent that when Paul talked about this, you know, he would say, "For to me to live is Christ." You see, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. You know, and yet we know that Paul lived, and it was and it was Paul, but he kept saying, "It's not me, it's Christ." You know, so you see this mingling happening all the time. Why? Because he had this constant personal time with the Lord, where he and Christ were being mingled in all aspects of his being. And a few times in the New Testament, you see his natural aspect come out, and he says something about that, and it just shows you he's not completely transformed. But as the New Testament goes on, you see this person has really gained mounds and mounds of the riches of Christ. See, that's what we want to do. These are some good points. But, you know, I would say this. As good as these points are, I just have a concern. I do have a concern.
Yeah.
And that concern is, do you realize that here you are, let's say you're 20 years old, 21, 22, 19, 24, whatever your age is, do you realize where you are, what year of life you're in, you see, that you're in the first quadrant of your life still, and you have, you know, quadrant 2, 3, and 4. If you live to be the average age, how much you could get, or how much you could fail to get, right now,
right,
starting on whether we have a life practice to gain Christ in a daily way. You see, you can live and at the age of 50, just suddenly. Just look around and say, what have I been doing for the last 30 years? And it can hit you that you have not been in the line of gaining Christ. You see, He's not transformed your soul. He's still buried in your spirit somewhere, but your habit is not for Him to live in you and take over every part of your being. So don't wait. Don't hesitate. Don't even make any excuses. Do it now. If you have a personal time with the Lord, resolve that you're going to have a better one by the Lord's mercy. You're going to have a better one.
Amen.
And if you don't, I'm telling you, you can be mightily used by the Lord. I don't mean in an outward sense, but mightily used by the Lord if you will build up this habit. See, it will constitute you with the riches of Christ, and you will have something to say. You see, you won't be this kind of person. I don't know. I have, I've heard some people say this and some people say that, but I really am not sure what the answer is. You can say, the Word of God that I've enjoyed is really clear cut. This is what Christ is. And I know that. I know that in the Word, and I know that in my experience. See? Then you will have power. Not outward power. You will have inward impact. And people will really realize, I can't overcome this. When this happened to me, I had to just surrender. You see, I had to say, forget about all the plans and all the things and all everything I was in, everything I was doing. I have to stop. I have to stop and get to know this person called Jesus Christ. You see, personally, definitely, and it's going to take a little time, so I might as well get used to the fact that it's going to be every day just plugging away in there, just like a farmer does, you see, and just waiting for Christ to grow and mature in me, you see. Okay, now, point one, by the blood of Christ. Colossians 1:20 says, and through Him, that's Christ, to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of the cross. Through Him, whether the things on earth or the things in heaven. This is the greatest verse, or I should say the largest verse, on the blood of Christ in the New Testament. It reconciles everything back to God. You see, it reconciles all things. Not just even me, but all things. And we'll see that demonstrated when Christ comes again in the next age. We'll see that to a good extent demonstrated, but ultimately consummated, we'll see it demonstrated in the New Jerusalem of eternity, where all things are reconciled to God. Okay? I put this verse here so that you could realize that if you're going to have a personal time with the Lord, see, let's let this part of you represent the personal your personal time. You need to be under a big umbrella, you see, that is called the blood of Christ.
Hallelujah.
If you have the umbrella of the blood of Christ to live and pray and operate under and to have your being under and so forth, then you will prevail. If you don't see the power of the blood, then you will always be somewhat confused, stumbling, not clear, and so forth. The blood of Christ has one function, and that is to bring you to God directly. So if you open to Him, claim the blood of Christ, you see, confess whatever is in the way, you will every time be brought to the Lord in a way of fellowship. So everything that's done is done under the umbrella of the great act and the great fact of the blood of Christ. You see, you must see this. The blood of Christ is good. I need the blood of Christ today. Not more or less. I just need it. I just need it totally. Totally. I just need to live, move, and have my being under the umbrella of the blood of Christ. Otherwise, I don't have any way. I can't do anything. You see? So the blood of Christ is our boldness and is our way, because the next verse shows us this boldness. It says, having therefore, in Hebrews, having therefore, brothers, boldness for entering the Holy of Holies in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
The Holy of Holies in the tabernacle and in the temple was the place where God dwelled. There were three places. The holiest of holies was the innermost sanctum. And there, God Himself dwelled, you see, in the Ark of the Covenant. And there, you could meet God, even in Old Testament times. But it was scary because that was old covenant and not like today. But now, because of the incarnation, living, death, and the shedding of Christ's blood and His resurrection, we have boldness.
Amen.
To enter into the innermost part of the sanctuary where God dwells. And today, that sanctuary is not a temple or a tabernacle. It is our human vessel. And it has three parts, just like the temple and the tabernacle did. And the innermost part is our spirit, where God dwells. And if we want to enter in to touch Him and enjoy Him in the innermost part, we have boldness in the Holy of Holies. This is our Holy of Holies. This is a holy place. And this is the outer court, if you match it up in typology. Okay?
Right.
So now we have boldness. Do you realize we have boldness? Or do you just kind of have this kind of shrinking, fawning fear? Lord, maybe, no, I can't pray today. Or, Lord, I can say, have mercy on me, and that's the extent of my prayer because I'm not qualified. Do we have this kind of feeling sometimes? Or do we have this experience? Or I'm not going to even bother because I am so condemned.
Right.
I am so guilty. I am so out of it. I have been not taking care of my conscience, my spirit, to the point that I don't even hear the Lord speaking in me anymore. See, I'm that dead spiritually. You ever get to a place like that? Well, then you need to really know that in the Bible, there's this word called boldness.
Boldness.
You see, this boldness was not given for people who are perfect.
Right.
It is not given for people who are great, mature. You know, this boldness is given for every single brother, sister, even human being, if they're not saved. They have boldness to enter into the Holy of Holies where they can commune with God Himself. That was the place, the unique place on earth where He would commune with man. And today, now, in the New Testament, the Spirit is so available to us. He's now right inside me. I carry the great tabernacle inside of me and the temple even, you see. And the Holy of Holies is right inside of me. And that is where Christ dwells. And I have boldness to enter in, contact the Spirit anytime, all the time, every time, because there's this thing called the blood of Christ, which gives me the qualification to do it regardless of what's what. You see, we have boldness. I hope you are a bold person. The best, most useful, most satisfying, and whatever Christians are the ones who know the boldness they have through the blood of Christ. They may go down, but they don't stay down because they know they can use the blood to be bold. See, having boldness. See, I hope you see it. I hope you see it. It will save you in your lowest point. And you know what? It will save you at your highest point.
Right.
When you're so high that you think you can just, fellowship, you don't need the blood, it will stop you. And you say, wait a second. You're still a fallen person.
Right.
You need the blood of Christ. You say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. You know. Sometimes you think you're doing really good, and you know, within half a day, it's like you fell off a cliff and perished as far as your spiritual life is concerned. Right? Am I right? It's true. It's true. In one day's time, you can go from a God man to a devil man. It's true. So you always need the precious blood of Christ.
Amen.
Don't neglect this, because it's one thing to offend God by trespassing and sinning, But it's a worse thing to trespass and sin and offend God by not using His Son's blood to cleanse you. That's a worser trespass. Okay? So use the blood. Okay? Use the blood. If you sin, that's bad. If you don't use the blood, that's worse. So use the blood to always come back to enter into the Holy of Holies and enjoy Him. Okay? Number two is the first thing of each day, which we had already mentioned, and used also these same verses, which are so good because it says, listen, it is Jehovah's loving kindness that we are not consumed.
Amen.
For His compassions do not fail. See, do you know Him like that? They are new. What are new? His compassions are new every morning.
Amen.
Great is Your faithfulness. Faithful compassions every morning of your life. You see? I'm going to put it this way, and I don't think it's an inaccurate way to say it, is go to sleep tonight, but while you're asleep, God is waiting for you to wake up tomorrow morning. And when you wake up, His compassions are going to be new and fresh. And if you will have a time with Him, you see, as we said here, the first thing of each day, then you will find that He is just waiting for you to wake up. Wake up! It's almost like, He's nudging you in bed, saying, "Wake up! Wake up! Wake up!" So I can start my fellowship with you and give you the compassions and the loving compassions, and we can have fellowship. Get up! You're wasting time. You see. His compassions are new every morning. And, to tell you the truth, it's really easy to touch the Lord at that juncture. If you do it at some other time, you'll find out the degree of difficulty has gone way up. But at that point, the first thing you do, I know everybody's got a little different routine they do in the morning, but I'm telling you, in that little first beginning routine, if you'll just start opening up to the Lord and start to fellowship with Him, you will find out He will meet you. He will meet you. And you can start fellowshipping with Him, and that will start a process that will make your day different than it would have been otherwise. Okay? So let's get up to the wonderful, all-inclusive Christ who's waiting for us to get up and say, Lord Jesus, I love You. Because the Word already says that He's loving us, right? So we just will get up and enter into a fellowship with someone who's waiting for us. He doesn't have to sleep, so He's waiting for us, always there, always praying to intercede for us. So He's waiting for us to enter into that fellowship the first thing of each day. Okay? Number three, you need to have a definite place. You and the Lord, your Lord, you and your Lord, and your place. They all need to be something special. Okay? It doesn't have to remain the same, but we have a new semester now, and it's a lot of new situations and so forth. While you're arranging things, make sure the first thing you arrange is a place for you to have your personal time with the Lord. Okay? And Matthew 6:6 is such a great verse where it says, where the Lord says, but you, when you pray, enter into your private room. Private room. See? So, right now, I'm asking you, where is your private room? See? Your private place. You need a privacy. So, what do you have as a private place? See? You know, when I was in college, I couldn't get much privacy. I couldn't get any privacy in the dorm I lived in. But I would go out into the parking lot and get in my car.
Yeah.
And I don't recommend that. That was just what I was forced to do. But in that kind of situation I was in, that car was the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
You know, and I could really enjoy the Lord there. Yeah. I did. I had hundreds of experiences, you know, of Christ in that car, just little and big and all kinds. And you know, that was a car I had while I was at college. My parents gave it to me so I could go to school, you know, out of town. And it wasn't a new car. It wasn't a bad car. It was just a college car. And it served its purpose.
Yeah.
It served its purpose, you know. And after I graduated and before I got married, I went to sell the car. And because in the family that I was fixing to become a part of, that car was definitely the lower ranking car. So that car needed to be sold. So I went to sell it. You know, I went to sell this car. And I just thought nothing about it until we actually started talking about money to sell this car. And I got choked up. I got emotional. And so forth. It's like, this is my car. This is my car. You can't. Yeah, this. You can't have this. Somebody's going to get in here and just trash this place. This is God's sanctuary.
Right.
Anyway, I got $600 for God's sanctuary. But you know, praise the Lord.
Amen.
You could roll up those windows and so forth and have a time. It was great. I appreciate it. But anyway, I don't know where it would be with you, but you need to have a place. It says here, when you pray, enter into your private room, and then it says, and shut the door. You see, I did that. You know, so it's just me. Me, the Lord, plus nobody. And He was a spirit, and I have my spirit, and we could contact and fellowship. See? Shut the door.
Right.
Remember what I said about shutting the door? What? What did I say? You remember what I said about shutting your... If you go into your private place, you have
right.
to... It's not enough just to go there. You have to... The scripture is clear. You have to shut the door. What does this mean? Huh? Yeah. You have to go into the Lord's presence and you have to shut the door to everything, thought, activity, anything that would enter your mind to distract you from touching the Lord, you have to shut the door to that. Okay? If you don't, you're going to be in the right place, but your mind is going to be astro-traveling somewhere all around the universe, okay? It can do that. You know, it can just go all places, and it's faster than the speed of light. It just, boom, and you're in another part of the world if you want to be. In your thoughts. You cannot have the fellowship of the riches of Christ and be in the brain thinking about all kind of things that the enemy would love to just take you away somewhere. You see? Shut the door. Just use your will to not let your mind drift. And if it does drift, use your will again and let me say this clearly, precisely. Use your will to bring your thought life or your mind back to your spirit. Use your will to do that, and do it quietly. Don't make a big fuss of it. Don't say, "Oh Lord, forgive me." Oh Lord, don't stop and have a full-scale repentance because your mind drifted a little bit. Just quietly bring it back and continue right where you left off, and do it without anything. It's inevitable that at sometimes our mind does drift. So bring it back. Just always bring it back. It will get easier as you become better at it. But don't get discouraged because your mind wanders away. Use your will to bring it back so you can fellowship in the Spirit, okay? Then your will can just kind of sit there on the sideline. Okay. Four, have a unique goal of touching Christ, okay? This unique goal of touching Christ is very well illustrated by a story that about this woman who wanted to just touch the hem of his garments. The verses are here. I'm just hurrying up a little bit. And her words were, "If I can just touch even his garments, I will be healed." You see? That's how much she was focused on him and not on a bunch of things, and I need to pray about 14 things, and what should I pray about first, and so forth. No, this is not the way. We need a unique goal to touch the Lord. We need to strengthen our inner man by having direct contact with Christ as a life-giving Spirit. You need to be refreshed by Him. You need to launch your being, and you need to launch your day even.
Right.
By having this personal time with Christ as a life-giving Spirit. Okay? If you touch Christ, you had a good morning time. If you didn't touch Him, it was worthless. Okay? What you do and what you contact regarding Christ matters totally. Everything hinges on whether we have a fellowship with Him, you see, and contact Him. To go a day without contacting Christ, you not only wasted a day, but you probably got yourself entangled in stuff that is going to take some time to get freed of. So we've got to start with the all-inclusive Christ, and if we really contact Him, He will be a kind of like an insulating factor as we walk through our day. You see, it's not a joke about whether we have a time with Him in the morning. Number five says, be willing to start in the mind and end up in the Spirit. Okay, I put this in here because also I know the story is like this, is when we first start to have our time with the Lord. We don't want to be in our mind.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's hard to know where our spirit is.
Right.
You see? So I put this in here to be a little bridge for your help. I hope it helps that way. Okay? I think nearly everybody that has a morning time starts in their mind. The good thing is the people who are used to it, they don't stay there very long. Their mind they use their mind just a little bit to get to their spirit, and they're in the fellowship of their spirit, and their mind is really a lot more passive, and they're really just praying and fellowshipping with Him. But sometimes it takes a little more exercise, a little more use. If so, we just keep doing it. It's like drilling for oil. You might hit it and you might miss it, but go ahead and drill again.
That's right.
You know, just keep drilling it. If you hit it, if you hit your spirit, you'll get a gusher. You see. So to start in the mind is not so bad. Even this verse, it says, "For the mind set on the flesh is death." It shows the mind can be in different places. But the mind set on the Spirit, little s, our spirit, is life and peace, you see. We need to really have this worked out. But a big question. I'm trying to be practical without getting, without overdoing it, okay? Sometimes people just, I just don't know what to say. Well, that's why we have our Bible. That's why we have things to read and so forth. But basically speaking, already there are certain things. What do you know about Christ? What do you know about the truth concerning Christ? You see, that enlightenment that you have, you can start to pray about that. And that prayer, which might start in your mind, will usher you right into your spirit because it's truth. See? Do you know that the blood of Christ is cleansing you all the time, even as you start to have your personal time? Then you can say, Lord, thank you for the wonderful blood. I know it cleanses me right now. Lord, cleanse me from anything that's in my mind, emotion, and will. Take away every barrier and so forth. Do you realize you need to be fresh with the Lord? New. Then you can have a time to say, you know this. You can this is truth. And so you can say, Lord, I just open my being to you to be new, to be fresh, to be living. Do you know that your heart needs to become a home for Christ to dwell in? Then you can just say, Lord, today I just want my whole being to be your home. Just all the aspects of my heart. See? There are so many truths that we can just start to pray about, and that we have some. And as we pray, we just get the feeling that the Lord is ushering us right into our spirit, and we'll go on from there. You see. So you start in the mind, but that's not where you end up. You end up being really brought into a refreshment with Christ. Amen. And enjoyment of Christ. That's proper and that's right. Okay. There's a great example in the Old Testament, but to tell you about it would take some time. I thought to do it, but time was a mitigating factor, and just that you pick up the principle is okay. 6, be intimate and loving. To be personal with the Lord, to touch Him. We don't want to touch Him about, the warfare that we need to fight for some event that's going to happen in 10 days. We need to begin as a foundational thing that we are intimate, personal, and loving with the Lord, because He is that way toward us. His loving compassions are waiting for us. You see, and so we want to be in this kind of frame. See, these I use the Song of Songs because this is the most intimate and loving right. book in the Bible in typology, but it's so good. In 2:4 it says, "He brought me into the banqueting house, and His banner over me was love."
Amen.
See, isn't that something? This is a picture of our personal time with the Lord. We've been given a seat in the banquet house of Christ, and over us, and we're in a room that you could call, this is the room where we know the love of Christ. You see? This is such a good thing. See? This is personal. We have a song, it says, "Lord, tune my heart to sing your praise." Yeah. You know, we need to be tuned up. And we do this in the banqueting room. And we get all the strings, all the chords get refreshed and tuned to praise Him, thank Him, be according to Him, be in His perspective, you see. Then we can be so one with Him. This is our goal. The next verse in Song of Songs is, "My beloved is mine and I am His." See, such a... You wouldn't say this about anybody if you really didn't have the confidence. You know, he's mine and I'm his. This is a very loving thing. And very real, very intimate. We want our morning time to be mostly like this and save some time for praying about other matters. But we have to have this, or the other stuff just doesn't work right. Okay? 7, use the Word of God, friends, and available helps. It's a major thing that we blend our personal time with using the Word of God in prayer. To set your mind on the Spirit can be as easily as setting your mind on a verse.
That's true.
You see? And that verse, as you pray it, can become transferred from black and white print into a living spoken word from the Spirit. And then that's what you eat, that's what you enjoy, that's what strengthens you, and that's what transforms you. See? So we need to use the word in that kind of way. These verses in Ephesians about receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the Word of God, by means of all prayer and petition. Take the Word by means of prayer. Don't just be somebody who has studied a certain book of the Bible and you think that's a big thing. No, you have to take it in. The Bible is firstly for nourishment, and the enlightenment comes out of that nourishment. Do you understand?
Right.
For example, in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all Scripture is God-breathed. That's the literal translation. Is God-breathed.
Amen.
God breathed out the Scripture. Okay, so because God breathed it out, then if you try to take it in your brain, then you might miss you will miss the essence of it. God breathed it out, so use your spiritual organ, your breathing organ, to take it in and let it enlighten you in your mind, and then it'll have power and impact. And it'll affect your whole being and your day. Okay. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for conviction. You think you can have conviction without touching the Spirit?
No.
For correction, for instruction in righteousness. All of these things are good. But if you're going to be corrected, in what way and how and how much and how far... and how little, and what about what, to what degree. You don't know the answer to any of these questions. But we know, all of us know, we need to be corrected. Our being needs to be rectified or corrected. And so we must touch the God-breathed Word, which is Christ Himself, so that He can do it in an accurate way. Otherwise, you are lost as to know what to do with yourself. You say, I need to be more like this. Well, I don't know. We can't have the assurance you need to be like that. We read the Bible, we can see the Bible, but unless we touch the Bible with our spirit and are nourished up, then we are not really a part of the revelation that it portrays to us as a pattern for us, for the body, for His purpose and so forth. Number 8 is rebound through the blood. This is the rebound verse that all Christians have to know this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from that particular unrighteousness. Do you believe that? All? You do? He cleanses us from all unrighteousness?
All.
All. Well, could we check your experience out a little bit? Are there times when something is bothering you or weighing on your conscience, and you're down because of it, and you don't quite feel you can be bold enough to address the matter before the Lord? Do you have that?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being honest. All brothers and sisters have a struggle with this word "all," but that doesn't mean that doesn't mean it's not there. So, do we believe what we think, or do we believe what's written in the Bible? See, this is a revelation. All. Okay, let's say I want to have a personal time. I do it the first day, I do it the second day, but days 3 and 4 are wipeouts. What are you going to do? Say it doesn't work? Say it's not for me? I'm not ready yet? No, you rebound because the blood clears the deck, right? You rebound through the blood. Okay, this is not only fair, we have to do this way. Nobody is going to go through their life not having something come up and just kind of create some kind of havoc with their personal time. So we have to rebound, all the time rebounding. The Christians have a little secret. That is, they can rebound. Always rebound. You cannot go a day without needing to rebound from something. Even if it's just a thought, you need to rebound. Okay, lastly, once we have our launch and we're off into our day, then if our spirit has been strengthened through our time, then we need to continue the rest of our day, because we only have a day to work in, just day by day. Continue the day in conversational prayer.
Amen.
And this is where we continue to stay in fellowship, and how we can abide in Christ. Okay. If your spirit is not enlivened, that conversational prayer is just not going to really come out when you need it, and you're not going to feel the need of it much. But if you get strengthened, you're going to feel like you need to refer things to the Lord all the day long and speak to Him. Speak a little word. Just say, "Lord, I need You. Lord, I'm fixing to lose my temper. Lord, I have a special need for You for the next 30 minutes. You just have to be my life." Just a little conversational thing. Lord, take care of Alex. Alex needs You right now. Right now, he needs You. We can just have this conversation all the time. At the end, it's the last verse, it says, Luke 18:1, the Lord told them a parable to the end, that they ought always to pray, always to pray, and not to lose heart. See, this is how we do it. See, it's our personal time followed by our conversational time. This is the key to being transformed. You can't, the other things will not work if you don't have this kind of foundation. Okay? Got it?
Yes.
Okay, your turn.